you'll look at those sermon notes, you will see that we start our journey in this text with this proclamation. This proclamation. The angelic messengers appear before the shepherds in the field as they are watching their flocks. And they have a message that they must proclaim to these shepherds. We read that message right there in verse 10. Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. And what is that good news of great joy that they are proclaiming? For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Now, many times in my sermons, I will briefly stop here to remind us that that word behold is a very important word. I had a professor who would teach through these Gospels, this New Testament, and he would always tell us that anytime we saw this word behold, it should be like someone is throwing a cup of cold water into your face. Because what has already happened as we begin to read this chapter or this section of text, we begin to think. We know this story well. In the days of Caesar Augustus, all the world should be registered. And we think, oh, I've heard this story before. Let me just kind of zone out until the end. And that behold there, when the angels burst into the scene, as they proclaim this message of good news, of great joy for all the people, it is a cold water in the face moment, for He is proclaiming to you, listen up, here is the point of this entire story. The point of this entire story is that the Christ child has been born. As we talked about this past Lord's Day, this Sunday morning, as we gathered and worshiped together, we talked about how from the end of the Old Testament, Malachi, to the point where we are at now, at the birth of Jesus, God has not spoken to His people for hundreds of years. He has not spoken to His people since the death of that last prophet. And now, all of a sudden, the shepherds abiding in the field, watching their sheep, thinking it's just any other ordinary day, the angels burst through the night sky and they have this message of hope and assurance. They have this message of salvation and they say, behold, wake up, shepherds. Wake up, shepherds, because here is a story about how God now dwells among us. That no longer does He speak through the prophets of old. No longer does He speak through any means of His hand, but He speaks Himself through Jesus Christ our Lord. Isn't that exactly why the Apostle John opens his gospel with this beautiful language that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us? Because this is the Word of God. This is God Himself taking on flesh, full of grace, full of truth. And that is the message that's being proclaimed here by the angels to these little old shepherds abiding in the field. You know, this idea of proclamation, it is, I think, the true measurement of how far the joy of the Christmas season has really captured our hearts. Because, you know, if we really have to gauge the joy of the Christmas season, it's not about how loud we sing our favorite hymns, even though we have sang beautifully this evening. It's not about gathering with your families on Christmas Day and opening all these presents, even though that's a great blessing from the Lord. But it is all about how we have this message of hope and assurance, and we just cannot help but to proclaim it to one another. You know, it kind of reminds me a little bit of, I was going to blame it on kids, but I guess myself. We kind of know how this operates, right? We'll wake up in the morning and we'll open some presents, and you'll know what each other get by the joy that exuberates from each and every one of us. It's like when we get together with our families, hello, let me tell you what I got. We get really excited about this, right? We get really excited. We get full of this happiness because of what we have been given by our loved ones. And that's exactly the way that we should be when it comes to this Christ child. when it comes to this Savior being born, when it comes to this great news of great joy for all the people, for unto you is born this day a Savior who is Christ the Lord. If you've been watching the news this week, if you've been watching the stock markets this week, you know that it is very easy to get discouraged in this life because of just really the unrelenting bad news that we hear. Think about it for a second. Here's what happened this week. We've had brothers and sisters, Christian brothers and sisters in China, be locked up and beaten because of their faith. We have a government, no matter what side of the aisle you sit on, we have a government that is at odds with one another. We have a stock market that has plummeted this month more than it has in December since the Great Depression. And it's easy for us to get discouraged, but here our text says that we have a message that exclaims that we have really good news to tell. We have really good news to tell, and it's for everyone. It's for all the people. I'm a millennial, so I spend some time on Twitter. And Kevin DeYoung is a PCA pastor just up the road in Charlotte. He tweeted this out today. He said, "Christmas is about missions. Go tell it on the mountain. Tidings of comfort and joy. Because Christmas happened, missions should happen." And he's right. Go tell it on the mountain. Jesus Christ is born. Glory to God in the highest and peace among those with whom He is pleased. We have a proclamation, a message of salvation, and our response is for us to be so filled with joy that we cannot contain it. We have good news for our households. We have good news for our workplaces. We have good news for our community. We have good news for our world that Jesus Christ, God Himself, has been born. Proclamation. Second point there is meditation. If you'll look back with me at verses 18 and 19, the shepherds have seen the Christ child. They have heard the angels proclaim the good news of great joy. They have rushed to Bethlehem, into the city, and they saw just as the angels had described, and they have seen the Christ child. And then in verse 18, it says that they went out and were proclaiming this message. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them, but Mary treasured up these things, pondering them in her heart. Notice that the response is kind of a general statement there when it talks about all the people. They wondered at what the shepherds had told them. And then in much detail, it kind of flushes out or teases out this idea of meditation. And he says that Mary treasured up these things and pondered them in her heart. You know, when we talk about this idea of Christian meditation, we're not talking about controlling your breathing or emptying your mind. No, we are talking about treasuring the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ in your heart and pondering it anew each and every day. We are talking about taking the truths of the Word of God, and we are talking about hiding them in your heart so that you may not sin against God. We are talking about taking this good news, and we are talking about dwelling on it and chewing on it and turning it over and seeing it from every facet and every angle and discovering and drawing out every ounce of truth and goodness. You know, I haven't lived that long, comparatively, but I have learned that there are three types of people when it comes to eating peppermints. Okay, so think about this for a second. It's a little bit of a foolish story, but think about this for a second. If I had a large bag of peppermints and I passed them out to each and every one of you, there would be three types of people in here. There would be one who would take that piece of peppermint and they would throw it in their mouth and immediately they would start crunching on it, right?
just can't help themselves. They take the peppermint and they immediately bite down. And then there are those who kind of chew on the peppermint. And they kind of put it in their mouth and it's kind of rattling and clinking against their teeth. And you know, it's dissolving, but they can't help but to bite in maybe just one or two times. And then there's a savorer. One who just gets every last bit of that peppermint that they can. Who just sits there and enjoys that peppermint. It kind of reminds me of a story that Beth's dad likes to tell so often about her and her love for bubblegum. Her mom wouldn't let her have it, but her dad would. And so, of course, when she went to her dad's house, she would go straight to the candy jar, right? And she would take out that piece of bubblegum and she would unwrap it. And when she would put it in her mouth, she would just, you know, she would savor it. And that's exactly what Christian meditation is. This challenge for you to meditate on this Christian story is to just simply savor it, to treasure it up in your heart, to savor it in your soul. Don't just crunch through it, but just sit there and draw out all that we can so that we can preach the gospel to ourselves each and every day. You know, Christmas is a joyful time, but it always ends, right? And it always leads into a new year. And there's one thing that I can tell you about 2019. To now, 2019 will be full of joys and it will be full of sorrows. In 2019, believer, you are going to need wisdom from God. You are going to need resources of grace to sustain you. You're going to need help in killing sin and pursuing righteousness. Believer, you are going to need help producing the fruit of the Spirit that Paul so beautifully writes about in Galatians 5. And one vital tool that we have for us is the gospel for ourselves each and every day. Savoring it, treasuring it, meditating on it. Yes, the first point is true that we must proclaim this good news of great joy for all people, because it is a message of salvation that saves souls even this very day. But believer, one thing is for sure, that we have to proclaim that good news of great joy to ourselves. We have to make this message that the angels proclaim here in Luke chapter 2, we have to make it personal and say it's not only good news for the world, but it is good news for me, and it's good news today, tomorrow, and the day after that. The message is sure that we need a Savior. We need a Lord, and His name is Christ Jesus. He is sufficient for me. He is God's perfect provision for every depth of my heart. So first, go tell the world about this Jesus, and then secondly, meditate on this Jesus. And that leads us to our third point, celebration. Celebration. You'll notice here as the narrative goes on that here in verse 10, there is an angel that appears before the shepherds. Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. That is one singular angel proclaiming this message. And then verse 13. And suddenly there was with an angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, and they were praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom He is pleased. One commentator kind of drew this point out from verses 13 and 14. And he says, it's as though the angels simply could not restrain themselves any longer. As this message is heralded, as the rest of the angels perhaps listen in, poised and ready, they simply could not hold it back anymore. And they pierce through the night sky with light, joy, and song. It is a beautiful picture. It's a beautiful
image of the heavenly host praising God and singing. And you know, this scene of the multitudes of heavenly hosts singing praises to God, it will happen just one more time in human history. One pastor says, and I think he's right on this point, that we live tonight, right now, between these two angelic forces. And it is our task to pick up the song and to sing with joy till our voices mingle with the angelic chorus once again when they begin their song anew. And you say, well, Matt, when is this going to happen again? It's going to happen again when Christ returns for His people. When Christ breaks the eastern sky, as Revelation tells us, and He stands on the cloud of glory and He descends upon the earth to draw His bride to Himself, to eradicate sin, death, and the evil one for all eternity, the heavens will sing and proclaim that Jesus is Lord. That Christ is Lord. He will come in His grace and His mercy. He will come in His love for His bride. But also at the same time, He will come in justice and judgment for those who stand against Him. And that raises an application question for us, doesn't it? That raises a question that we have to ask ourselves and we have to answer individually. And that question is, will I join the angels and the heavenly hosts singing praises to God at His second and final coming, or will I stand ashamed and in fear because He is coming as my judge? Indeed, just as this fellow pastor said, we live today, right now, even this very evening, between these two angelic courses. And it is possible for us to take up this song, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom He is pleased. It is possible for us tonight to proclaim this message and this song and this glory to our God, but we first must be born again. And when we are born again, we will be filled with much joy, just as the shepherds are filled with much joy there in verse 20. Look at it with me as we close. After the shepherds see the Christ child, they return, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and all that they had seen as it had been told to them. You know, these three points, this proclamation, this meditation, and this celebration, it could be summarized really with just one word. And that word is joy. Because of joy, there is a message to proclaim. Because of joy, there is a gospel to meditate upon. Because of joy, there is a reason for celebration. And so my question is for you, as we prepare to gather around the Lord's table together, do you know that joy that is brought to you by Christ Jesus? He is worth celebrating. He is offered to you freely in the Word of God. And He is the most precious gift. He is God's only begotten Son, that whoever should believe in Him shall not perish, but they shall have everlasting life. This is good news of great joy for all the people. A Savior has been born, the Savior Christ the Lord. And so this Christmas, let us proclaim Him to the world, for we have a message to tell. Let's meditate on the truth, treasuring it in our hearts and pondering it for our souls. And then let us celebrate Christ's first coming, even while we wait with expectation for His second and final return. If my elders would come as we pray. Father in heaven,